biographies has appeared, of which those by Francesco Bauzi, Robert Black, Sebastian de Grazia, Maurizio Viroli, and Corrado Vivanti deserve particular mention. Thanks to the tireless efforts of scholars such as Sergio Bertelli, Denis Fachat, Jean-Jacques Marchand, and Mario Martelli, critical editions of an ever-growing number of Machiavelli's works have been made available. And in almost every field, with a bearing on his writings and career, huge strides have been taken. To take just one example, it is fair to say that our approach to his political thought has been revolutionized by those like Erica Benner, Gisela Bock, John Pocock, Quentin Skinner, and Gabriele Padula. In much the same way, Alison Brown, Anna Maria Cabrini, Marcia Kolisch, Virginia Cox, Carlo Dionisotti, Victoria Kahn, Brian Richardson, and Gennaro Sasso, to name but a few, have not only cast fresh light on his literary, dramatic, and historical works, but have also enriched our knowledge of his use of rhetoric, his engagement with the Latin classics, and even his attitude towards gender. So too our understanding of the turbulent world of Florentine politics has been recast by the pioneering work of Nikolai Rubinstein, Humphrey Butters, John Najamie, and John Stevens, while our perceptions of the Italian wars and Machiavelli's role in them have been turned on their head by Mikhail Hornquist, Michael Mallet, and Catherine Shaw. And every day, new and important discoveries continue to be made. This biography cannot hope to equal, let alone surpass, the remarkable contributions which have been made to Machiavellian scholarship over the past 70 years, nor, as a consequence, does it attempt to advance an especially radical vision of its subject. Instead, its aim is to bring together the insights of recent years to provide as detailed, accessible, and comprehensive a portrait of Machiavelli's life and times as possible. As the endnotes testify, my debt to those who have gone before me is immense, especially insofar as Il Principe and the Discorsi are concerned, but I have not hesitated to suggest new interpretations where I have thought it appropriate, to shine a light into those corners of Machiavelli's life which have hitherto remained in shadow, and to make his day-to-day existence as vivid and immediate as the evidence allows. Throughout, my approach has been guided by three overarching considerations. The first is context. In the recognition that Machiavelli's intellectual and personal development can only be seen clearly in the mirror of his own times, I have been at pains to situate him firmly in the culture, society, and politics of late 15th and early 16th century Italy. More firmly, I believe, than has sometimes been the case in the past. Naturally, I have paid particularly close attention to the ebb and flow of the Italian wars, the constitutional wrangling by which Florence was beset, and the bitter divisions by which the city was racked. But I have also endeavoured to give as full an impression as possible of the texture of everyday life, from Renaissance attitudes towards the family to the nature of friendships, and from the education of children to the sights, sounds, and smells of the urban landscape. Given that Machiavelli spent a great part of his life travelling, I have placed a strong accent on Renaissance journeys as well, that is to say, on different modes of transport, on the routes available, on the dangers involved, and, where it has been possible to determine, on the weather. In doing so, I hope not only to have provided a more three-dimensional portrait of Machiavelli the man, but also to have illuminated more brightly the roots of his thoughts, the reasons for his actions, and the extent to which, for much of his life, his fate was affected by vast sweeping events quite beyond his control, and often beyond his comprehension. The second consideration concerns completeness. Although Machiavelli is best known for Il Principe and the Discorsi, I have endeavoured not to privilege any particular texts, and, as far as possible, to take the full range of his writings into account. This is intended to have two effects. On the one hand, by giving ample consideration to his plays and poems, his letters and carnival songs, I hope to make apparent the full richness of his personality, the vivacity of his imagination, and the bawdiness of his humour. And on the other hand, by removing the privileged status accorded to texts like Il Principe, I believe it will be possible to examine the meaning and importance which Machiavelli himself attached to them at the moment of their composition, without the baggage of presupposition. For similar reasons, I have also tried to give as exhaustive an account of Machiavelli's actions as I can.